Meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. The field production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by demigods like Indra, Sun, Moon, etc. And they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices. Therefore, one who cannot perform this will find himself in scarcity. That is the law of nature. Yajna, specifically the Sakritan Yajna, prescribed for this age, must therefore be performed to save us, at least, from scarcity of food supply. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnana Shakaya Chakshuri Mutamya Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakava Trubhyasya Prakasim Guruvevacha Atitanam Upadanyo Vashavyo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasanto Rakhtarandha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Again, all living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yajna sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. So again, thank you. We feel very privileged to be here amongst all of you. For those of you that regularly come to the farm, it's very nice to see so many familiar faces. And yeah, we wanted to share today a little bit about Jisnagiri, what's going on in the farm, what the plan is for this year at least and for the future. And then also we wanted to touch on some of Prabhupada's desires for Jisnagiri. He wrote the Jisnagiri prophecy that could be written in 1956 already. And actually Jisnagiri, when Prabhupada came there in 1976, the farm was named New Varshana at the time. And when he came in and he walked different places in the farm and saw what was happening at Gijanagiri at the time. And at that time, he actually changed the name and said, this is the Gijanagiri. So at that time, of course, different devotees tried to get from Prabhupada exactly what did he mean by it. But later on, devotees found this article that Prabhupada had published in 1956 in one of his magazines. And so in that article, Prabhupada practically gives all the details behind what he wanted to see happening in Gijanagiri. So in one sense, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to follow Prabhupada's instructions that he had given us at Gijanagiri. But he just and I are going to share the speaking in a little bit in different aspects of the project. And we also wanted to make time to take some questions from you. I know for many of you, we have been promising note, there's now a shortage of supply. So sometimes we feel like the milk Nazi and the ration of the supply, but we can discuss that a little bit. Please, devotees, if you come a little more forward, there's more devotees standing at the entrance trying to come inside. Please come a little closer. We can make space for more devotees to come inside. Thank you. So in this verse, Prabhupada is mentioning many different aspects regarding the production of food grains and how the demigods control the water, air, sunlight. There's so many different aspects that are in the control of the demigods. So how many demigods are there? Anybody knows how many demigods?
330 million.
Yes, it is. Large number of demigods. So how to satisfy all of these demigods? So if we try to schedule 330 million pujas, it's going to take us a long, long time to do 330 million pujas. And even if we try to do one a day, it's going to take them to produce a max and take them a very, very long time to do these pujas.
So in this verse, it is explained how by the performance of yajna, which is born of prescribed duties, and by offering the yajna to Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna himself. In this way, Prabhupada mentioned that all the demigods are worshipped.
So Prabhupada gives the analogy that the demigods are like the
different villains of the Lord.
And so therefore, in this way, there is no need for separate worship of the demigods.
So in the last paragraph, Prabhupada is talking about food grains or vegetables
are equals.
And the human beings, that means us, we eat different kinds of food grains,
vegetables, fruits.
And the animals,
they will eat the leftovers. So whenever, you know, there is preparation of food grains,
there is preparation of vegetables, the nice offerings that have been
made for the deities, in this way there's going to be leftovers. Sometimes leftovers from people's plates, leftovers from kitchen cooking, different leftovers.
And in this way, the animals also get to eat. So, yeah, Prabhupada also doesn't exclude those meat eaters. He's mentioning that food grains are necessary. But what about those human beings that are accustomed to eating flesh? How do they get their flesh to eat? So flesh is coming from animals, and what are the animals eating? They also have to eat some food grains. So all of these leftovers, they eat, but ultimately it's coming from vegetation. So in order for the animals to eat, they need vegetation as well. And ultimately, one has to be dependent on the production of the field. And so this is what we are trying to do in this analogy. Develop the land, develop the project, so that we can become sustainable and self-sufficient into the future. So, of course, we are a long way from there. We just started. For those of you that know my background, I didn't grow up, you know, farming. I didn't grow up on a farm. Somehow, by good Lord's arrangement, most of my spiritual masters were now in Geet Nagri. My background is nuclear engineering. That also was in the corporate world, and somehow, by some inconceivable mercy, we have this opportunity now to be able to engage in practical devotional service. So we are trying. We've got so many faults. We've learned so much. The community around Geet Nagri, the Mennonite Amish communities, have been such a wonderful help and resource. Just taking us under the wing, teaching us everything they know. So in this way, we've been very, very fortunate to be at Geet Nagri. Of course, so many of you also come and give us your association, so we are definitely very indebted to that. So, in terms of where we're going with Geet Nagri, maybe Parijala can share a little bit about the model that we're following and what we're trying to achieve in the future.
Hare Krishna. Like Dhruva was mentioning, it's very wonderful for us to be here. It's a reunion for us because we hardly get to see all of you except during retreats and when you make your maybe spring or summer visits out to the farm. So we hope to see more of you later in the year. I was reflecting on the one point that Prabhupada mentions in the third part about the real community that is food offered to Krishna. And so, as devotees, whether we just begun the process of Krishna consciousness or established devotees, that is such an essential part of our devotion. Because it's creating that absolute immunization and immunity, the immunization of creating immunity against material addictions. And so where is that food, what is that food source? Food source is the land and centered around cows. Prabhupada in one Bhagavatam Purport explains how human civilization is centered around man and cows. Human civilization. So without land and cows, it is questionable whether we have real civilization. And so Prabhupada had great foresight when he established this model of how farms and cities collaborate, how that there must be farm communities or rural areas that can be developed and protected by the devotees to be able to supply the needs of those communities as well as the communities that surround them. And when Geet Nagri was purchased, that was, and that is, continues to be the intention, that within a 4 to 5 hour radius, that the residents of Geet Nagri ought to supply the presiding deities in the various temples around the neighboring states with their needs, like flowers and dairy and boga for their offerings. And so it can, you know, one, those of you who know Geet Nagri, and they've been coming for decades now, as many of you sitting in the audience here, When you experience the land and you're there, you think, yeah, there's so much potential. And then when you think how much work it takes to manifest Prabhupada's desire, then one starts to realize how it does take a community to manifest that. It cannot be just an individual or few people. And that is also part of our message that we'd like to bring today, is how we as a community between the farms and the cities collaborate to manifest Prabhupada's desire to have a sustainable food supply system. Because it's only a matter of time before we're not going to be able to have that. And so Prabhupada, in his, mainly in his final lectures, in 76, 77, he spoke a lot about farming, and he describes this model where he speaks and he shares the practicalities of cities to farms and farms to cities. What is that relationship? And I'm going to paraphrase a lot of what he said, and most of this is contained in a book compiled by Bala Hare Krishna Devigasi on Prabhupada's lectures on farm communities in Varnashram. And we've adopted that model to give us some structure to carry out the goals of Kirtanadi. We call it the method behind our madness. There's so many conflicting goals. Every day, you know, the DD offerings have to be in time, and the cows have to be milked, and the land is lying vacant, so it needs to be cultivated, and the devotees have needs. Maybe someone's not feeling great today, and, you know, emotional challenges, physical, relationship challenges, and there's also, you know, sweetness around so many things, and you feel bewildered. You know, what do I do today? There's so many things that need attention. And so we call this our method behind our madness, where we share and understand as our core to what Kirtanadi needs to manifest are Radha Damodaras, the presiding deities, that they are the ultimate beneficiaries of all of our endeavors on that farm, the 350-acre farm. That the community is absolutely essential, that the relationships that we establish with each other and the training that we get from Prabhupada and Vaishnava beings is absolutely paramount, and none of us are able to practice that fully, but to whatever levels of realization we can, we support each other to do that. That the cows need care, protection, and engagement, cows and oxen, and that the land must be cultivated. And all of this is also to develop a prosperity model or some sort of economic model. Because if one has to be sustainable, you have to have a financial basis, some financial stability, so that's essential. In order for us to achieve those goals that we set around those core areas, we have to focus on facilities, infrastructure. On a farm, you know, you have your own septic system, your own water source. You have so many natural resources, like, you know, the land, the soil, the fertility of the soil, the pollution, the air, the water, the streams, the waterways. And so that takes a lot of focus and energy. And so a lot of time is spent on research and development, especially for the boys not trained in that, in those particular areas. And there's a lot of time spent on governance and compliance. The moment you produce on your land and you consume and the surplus you want to take to market is regulation. So for example, when we want to get milk to you, we cross the state line, we ship it across the state line, and therefore we have to be certified in many ways. And, you know, so there's a lot of, by the FDA, by the USDA, by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture also. So there's a lot of compliance, and what to speak of within ISKCON, there's all the compliance around just remaining a well-governed institution. And then, in addition to that, the communication and the PR that goes with establishing a project that has sustainability. And so in those later lectures, Prabhupada shares how the city temples are staging grounds for Krishna consciousness. That the service of the devotees who live in the cities is to just distribute books and to establish beautiful temples. Now we are doing that excellently. You know, that's basically your primary service in a city context. And they call them staging grounds because by your book distribution and by your establishment of attractive temples, people, it's very appealing to them, and they're attractive, their intelligence is attractive, their senses are attractive, the relationships bring them here. And in that way, they cultivate their bhakti, their dominant relationship with Krishna. And in that way, they start to follow the path of bhakti in a more serious way. Some of them will choose to remain in the cities, but others, specifically those who like to raise families, Prabhupada describes how a farm or rural environment or community is very suitable for that. And in order to do that, it enables families who have parents or couples who have families to engage in occupational duties that is not always involving a factory or an office, that they have a whole spread of activities that they can share and participate in on the farm context. and also have some maintenance from that, some prosperity, some fulfillment from that. And so Prabhupada says that the city projects are extremely important for that. What do the farms do in return? What we do, those of us residing on the farms, we supply you with your essential needs. We supply you with your dairy, with your flowers and offerings. Prabhupada even with details in the Nityanagari prophecy that we should be able to, at some point, you know, provide all the items necessary for the arti. If you unpack each of the items in the arti, he says, you know, the cloth, you know, the cotton wicks, the ghee that goes into it, you know, rolled, hand-rolled, cow dung incense. There's so many details that are there and how we can really increase the quality of our boga offerings, and that, and through our consciousness, also increase that quality. And in that way, we are moving out of the external markets of, you know, what is mass produced and what is clearly, you know, built on the basis of exploitation and so many other things that are going on in the world right now. And so Prabhupada had a very distinctive intent and wanting. And while it might seem so far-fetched, it is actually becoming more and more relevant. Statistics show how people's interest in consuming healthy food is increasing by anything because of the high rates of health issues and illness and disease. And, you know, so people are becoming more aware. And we have already got this knowledge, and somehow how do we collaborate to manifest what each of our roles would be in building this model? But people actually can say, well, that particular community, an intentional community or a higher Christian community, whether in the city or in the farm, so their collaboration makes sense, and that is something we want to be part of. And so that is Nityanagari's role, to become that model. Prabhupada said that the residents are to be content in this particular service of living on a farm. When I first got there, I always shared this. I wondered, where's the book distribution? Where's the Haina? Because I came from a city temple. And then I realized, no, Prabhupada, and I read the books and his lecture, and he says, the preaching of the devotees that reside on the farm is to be content, is to be happy living that life, and to protect the cows, develop the land, and build community. So that's pretty much our model in Nityanagari, and Dhruva will share a little bit more on this.
And maybe just some quotes. Yes, we have the actual quotes from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, here's a few quotes. Our next program is farms. This was the letter to Karakaya, 19 October 1975. Our next program will be organized farming land to set an example to the whole world how people can be peaceful, happy, and free from all anxieties. This is the next aspect of Krishna consciousness which I wish to push forward. If I am able to travel again, then I shall visit the farms and make them perfect. On these farms, we can demonstrate the full Varanashram model. Letter to Hari Sauri in Vrindavan, 10th August 1977. So, this particular context is very significant because for some of you who have read Prabhupada's biography at least, it's explained that, what was it, in July. June or July 1977, Prabhupada actually wanted to come to Nityanagari. And Tama Krishna Maharaj at the time was asking, you know, why do you want to go there? And he said, what will you go and do there? And Prabhupada said, you know, I will sit there and I will teach Varanashram, teach people how to farm. So, of course, the devotees protested that Prabhupada, your body is very, very weak, you know, you cannot really travel that far back to America again. But Prabhupada, of course, you know, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. So, eventually, the devotees bought him a ticket to come to Nityanagari. Prabhupada got on the plane, got as far as London, but then his body started to break down very, very fast. And so then they quickly returned. He never made it back to Nityanagari. But he then returned back to Vrindavan in November 1977, kind of on that planet. Just a few more quick quotes from Prabhupada. I wanted power protection from the very beginning. In the beginning, when Hari Viva purchased, I immediately gave the idea of new Vrindavan power protection, that it kept Ananda. Because agriculture and cows are God's gift to mankind. God's gifted professions for mankind are agriculture and cow protection. Life of the Bhagavad, 9 per quart. These farms are extremely important. Our farm projects are an extremely important part of our movement. We must become self-sufficient by growing our own grains and producing our milk, and there will be no question of poverty. So develop these town communities as far as possible. Very crude, unsophisticated, but intense love for Krishna. That is Vrindavan. We want to introduce this town project means, we want to introduce this town project means intense love for Krishna. This civilization we want to introduce. Room conversation, Bhuvaneshwar, January 1977. These farms can make the whole world Krishna conscious. If these farms become successful, then the whole world will be enveloped by Krishna consciousness. Let it rise slowly in 1977. Here's another one. Don't bother about big buildings. It is not required. Useless waste of time. Produce. Make the whole field green. See that. Therefore, I'm asking so much. Farm, 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 farm. This is Prabhupada speaking. Vrindavan again, 27 May 1977. Krishna is the Farmacharya. Baladev is holding the cloud, and Krishna is holding the calf. So again, 10 August 1977. So then, Prabhupada starts to speak a little bit more about cow protection. And how the cows need to be protected. My dream. So this is the home conversation in Toronto, 21st June 1976. So this was my dream, that a place should be where we can get all nice foods, best of foods, milk. Krishna is fulfilling our desire. So as you can see, you know, there's just so many quotes. Prabhupada, you know, we don't have to speculate on anything in terms of what we should be doing and how we should be developing these farm communities. Cow protection is the basis of human civilization. Brahminical culture and cow protection are the basic principles for human civilization. Those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. Again, light of the Bhagavad. Cow protection means that we never kill animals. Cow protection is necessary for worshipping the Supreme Being. It's a way to become attracted to devotional service. And so, you know, it's just so many quotes about Prabhupada talking about farms and cow protection. So, for many of you that are getting the milk, getting out of the purchase a herd of brown Swiss milking cows in 2013. It took some time for us to get the necessary certifications, raw milk certification a few months later, and then finally in January 2014 we got FDA permit to distribute milk, a regulation. Of course, raw milk is legal in Pennsylvania, but once we get out of Pennsylvania, milk needs to be pasteurized. So we got a permit to pasteurize milk and then distribute. This way we were able to send the milk here to New Jersey, Washington, D.C. We stopped now for the year because of the low volumes of milk, and then also upstate New York is sending milk. So we are slowly trying to develop the project. Of course, it comes, you know, with so much of commitment and dedication to, you know, take care of the cows, to take care of the infrastructure, developing it. There's a handful of devotees that have been helping us. So I guess we wanted to maybe take some questions from devotees. We're always trying to see how to get more help in terms of developing the farm and the cow protection model more and more. And yeah, we wanted to have some dialogue, collaboration with the devotees. You know, I get so many emails every day, who with milk, with milk, with milk coming to Philadelphia. Why is there a shortage of milk in Jawaharpur? Why is there a shortage in Plainfield? You know, so many things. So, of course, you know, cows don't need any annual supply of milk. Generally, when they lactate, when they give birth to a cow, then they start, you know, producing a lot of milk. But gradually, with time, the milk production starts to drop. Especially winter in America has a challenge because, you know, they have to have dry hay. They're not getting luscious green grass anymore. And so, in this way, the milk production has been down. It's going to come up in the next few weeks. But we're always trying to see how to encourage devotees to help support the farm and see how to develop things more and more. Anything else you wanted to share?
Can we take some questions?
Yeah, the one aspect that I want to elaborate on is Prabhupada was very emphatic about boys remaining in the cities. So why are we talking so much about farms? We don't think that one is better than the other. They both have their place and purpose within our community and within what Prabhupada is describing, you know, ought to be the Krishna consciousness culture that is developing and how the whole world can become attractive and built like that. Our goal is to collaborate. At the same time, Drew and I were speaking and we were driving here, what does it mean in practice? Because we come to every city project and you're already inundated with heaps of priorities, right? When you have a very real goal of establishing the new temple, you have a very real goal of maintaining the existing facility, you have a real goal of maintaining your congregations and expanding so on, and the daily service of the deities is unlimited and will continue eternally. And so just to keep that program, you know, one might ask, well, what else can we give? You know, what else are we meant to do? And so it's very daunting for us to kind of appeal to you for any more time or energy or anything like that. But we thought that it's important that because Prabhupada sets as a very real goal the collaboration between farms and cities, that we are existing to serve you. We need to have some dialogue on how we want to structure that. What does it actually practically mean? And perhaps the conversation among the leadership initially, and then among the communities. But we probably get some dialogue and you know, open up to hear what you have to offer in terms of, you know, how do we improve the collaboration and how do we serve you better? What needs do you have that would be met maybe because in the market? You know, although we're following what our instructions are, everything has a timeline in terms of priorities. So I think you're keen to hear what your needs are and what you think we as a community can do, what Gidanagar community can do in service to you.
Thank you. Comments, questions?
I'm really, really grateful to you for what you guys are doing. Because we are always waiting for milk every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we are so addicted to it that if we don't today, our milk was over. So we made just herbal tea for the deities. Because we don't like to buy milk from outside. So this is a great service we are doing to Prabhupada. No words to explain that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And we had been to Gitanagari last year. One of our devotees got initiated. And I saw the cows. They are so happy. You know, you always hear that in the makeup.
Yeah.
In America, the cows are tortured a lot, and they are tied all the time. And when you see this type of cows who are grazing so nicely, it's very nice to see also. And the milk is also blessed by Radha Damodar. So it's always, if you do things for Krishna, then always it's a win-win situation. And if we drink that milk, it nourishes the brain also. So my only complaint is that we don't get milk that often. We would love to get it every day. Thank you very much for all your service.
The logical step to keep the supply of milk constant is to expand the herd, because we're going to keep having more babies. And we've not been very, ambitious like that. Simply because each time a baby is born on that farm, we have to make a 20-year commitment to that little calf. Because that's what it means, we've taken it for life. And Andrew and I personally made that commitment. Because we milk them and take care of them, and other devotees do support. You know, they're not enough devotees to make that commitment to larger numbers. The second aspect of that is every time babies are born, to keep the milk supply consistent needs additional infrastructure. So right now, for example, the milking mothers are for the winter, they were in one particular barn. The retired mother is another barn. So there's 28 healthy cows, there's 19 retired cows, another one, and the babies, there's 14 babies, 10 heifers, 10 little girls, and 4 oxen. They're in a little shed that was actually, I think it must have been found under the school shed or something like that, we cleaned out completely and put out the trail and made it nice to make that their barn. But now that wasn't even this high. Not at that high. So they need another barn for the winter. And that's the thing about the USA is that it has a typical winter. Those who come from India or ourselves from South Africa, you know, we don't have snow. We don't need to put cows in barns during the winter months. So each time we have to keep that milk supply must, we need also an infrastructure investment. And unless we have very definitive plans around that, then it becomes a little restrictive. So that's the main kind of maybe roadblock right now that we're facing on the next phase of the expansion, because to keep a constant milk supply means expansion. And so because it requires infrastructure investment, and manpower, we don't mind to do all the service. I tell you, it's so sweet. It's hard work. You're so tired at the end, but so happy. Marriage day may be so sweet. So that is, you know, not really problematic. The main thing is the infrastructure investment that goes with it. Those are the conversations we need to have as a community, and how do we actually do that? So that is why. We'd love to give copies. We have love to give our noise in the house. And that is the whole goal. One more point, I know you want to share something too. The other point is price, right? And how you do it, cost. You run a farm, there's a budget, you know, tells me every day, how are you going to pay the bills? This costs that much. This, you know, in your whole household, the mothers and the fathers are constantly communicating, you know. They're always expenses. And so, you know, the very real aspect of it is, in terms of the financial stability is, you know, goals around like how to keep it financially viable. I had a train of thought I forgot this language. I can't remember right now. But okay, I'll think of it just now.
So thank you, Mandy, you guys, for sharing that. Just one or two more quotes from Prabhupada. The whole world is engaged in simple activities, just like we are taking last drop of milk from the cow and after extracting everything, then sent to the slaughterhouse. So the whole world is engaged in simple activities. So for those of you that don't know, the kind of milk that you get in the stores, all those cows generally live for 5 years. That's their maximum life that they live for, and then they sent to the slaughterhouse. So according to economics, you know, after 5 years being the cow every year, the cow becomes so tired that they're not able to produce much milk after 5 years. And so according to simple economics, it doesn't make sense to invest more money in terms of feeding that cow. So that's why the cow has to go to the storehouse. So what we're proposing with our was proposing was that, you know, we have our own farm, we have our own cows, we're protecting these cows, and in this way we can enjoy the milk from them. Otherwise, our is, you know, it's been very emphatic, solid measures. It's simple and we all have to suffer for it. And there will be great suffering. This is simply animal civilization, taking the last drop of milk from the cow and immediately sent to the slaughterhouse. Multi-chain civilization. And they want to be happy. And in reality, there is great war and wholesome massacre, reaction, conversation in Detroit, June 1977. And so in this way, you know, there's just so much of reaction that we get from supporting, you know, regular more industry by purchasing this kind of thing. That's why we have to provide an alternative. First of all, it's going to be, you know, expensive. We want to bring the milk price down, we definitely need your support. I'm not trying to do a sales pitch, this is the reality. You know, we've been working these cows for 2 years now, more than 2 years, and you know, we're trying to see how to stabilize the operation.
I remember
that.
Can I just make the one point?
Sure.
So the one point was around pricing, that it is price certainty, and we will not be able to compete with the existing markets. Those of you are thinking about your budgets and why the dynamics pricing is different, it's because of the cows being protected for their entire lifetime. But the way milk is priced in the market right now, it is subsidized by the beef industry. Farmer will not be able to sell the price of him, not will not be able to price his milk at $3.50 without having to send a cow to slaughter, because he's making up the shortfall from the beef and he has to sell his apple. That is the unfortunate system that most farmers are trapped in. Farmers get the solution. The same with the vegetables. It will be the same situation in that, you know, we can't compete with an Indian store. It's a reality because there's a different infrastructure there. And so we have to make a decision around ourselves, what we all do, to keep those prices consistent. That was another very fundamental principle of Prabhupada's model, that when we do it among ourselves, we are subject to the external market and fluctuation of supply and demand. Sometimes we notice that tomatoes are priced at one price early on, in the beginning of the season and for the end of the season, they price differently. I don't think any of you go to farm auctions or things like that, but you know, you kind of just say grocery store, it all seems the same sometimes. But when we have our internal program, our internal economic model, then we're not subject to that. So those principles.
I was just asking about, you mentioned that hay was actually contributing to the supply constraint. So is it also because demand is also too great that you guys are having a supply constraint? And then also, you know, if there is, you know, a lot of demand, have you thought about maybe raising the price instead, you know, to like 15 or $20 a gallon? Because, you know, to me, it's like it's a necessary expense. So if you have that mindset that this is the only option, then, you know, devotees might be able to pay that. And have you explored, you know, explored raising the price?
Yes, thank you. Definitely you thought that as well. Yes, it must be a businessman. So, yes, that's the bad news. Actually, I guess I wanted to also make an announcement that the price of mobile will be going up as of the 1st of May. It will be now $14 again for a month, and half again will be 7. So, you know, we now have some experience. We've got 2 years of data, and we've tried to keep it as low as possible, but, you know, first year loss, second year loss, and then, you know, we have to take a loss again. So I think in that way, the oil price will stabilize at, you know, $40 again. And, you know, we want to see how to maintain that standard. We haven't bred any cows since we got the herd. We haven't bred any cows. The plan is every year we'll match according to our model. We're meant to breed at least 6 cows every year. But because of all the certification that we've been doing, and I didn't want just to have a big herd and not being able to move the milk without all the necessary certifications. So this August will start the breeding cycle, and it was ready to supply of milk overall. Yes, definitely demand is going up, you know, not only our devotees, you know, ethical vegans, so many people now, you know, we've been shipping with a hot stop now with the shortage, but you know, we were shipping milk to California regularly. You know, we were wanting as much. We were pleasing the milk and shipping California.
Well, I just wanted to make 2 points here. The first thing is, I don't see whether it's a price of $14 or $16. I think people will pay if they are convinced what the product is. And I feel that there is a little bit of lacking of marketing also,
yes,
as far as milk is concerned.
Yes.
Because generally, organic milk, what you get from outside, $10 per gallon, is good for our health. But Gitanagari milk is not just good for our health, but it's good for cows also. I think this is both ways. And that kind of message is not clearly kind of given to the consumers. And that's 1 point. Second, I was wondering from the, because you are keeping the cows for their whole life, 20 years, 25 years. Do you also have a program where people can sponsor a cow for a month or 2 months or a year, something like that, so that if you have the expenses for the cows taken care from that side, then you don't have to worry about taking the money, I'm getting the money only from the milk price.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yes, those are definitely two very, very valid points. Like I said, you know, part of my nuclear engineering career, I think marketing is an angel, so it's definitely, you know, lacking so smile face. She ran the world, she burst out in tears. I was like, sorry ma'am, what's wrong with you? You know, she's like, why are you crying? So she said, wow, this is so amazing. This is how world tastes at home. She was from, you know, some small country, and she was learning, you know, drinking cows more fresh from the cow. And she said, see, here's the similar. How can you go get it? And she was just so appreciative of it. So yes, definitely you can see the benefits of these things. At the same time, you know, we also try not to do a sales pitch, like I said, you know, there's so many commitments here. But, you know, we're always willing to see how to still participate here in the local temples, but at the same time extend the help we have. Because we don't have a congregation, that's our biggest challenge. We don't have a congregation living in the mountains, and so we have the mercy of, you know, devotees that are sympathetic towards helping us to see somehow how we can develop this home project that pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. There's one big last question then.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you said that you had a lot of support, you had a lot of support from the surrounding Amish community. I just wanted to know what kind of interactions you guys had with them, what kind of tips that they gave you, and so forth.
Once he always told us, the Amish are perfect Vaishnavas except for their diet. So they use good power, they're indulging strong virgin muscles to plow the land. Their children are raised from the time they're very little to be respectful and to see work as an act of devotion to God. And how I've learned all of this is we've become friends with them and they've shared with us their lifestyle and philosophy. And even now, when we do kids' camps, we always put an Amish farm tour. And the kids love it, and the adults come too. It turns out to be a highlight. So primarily around farming, one, you know, Pennsylvania has a certain climate, so we have to understand, you know, what are the growing cycles that happen. So they've been very, very instrumental in, I think, cutting out a lot of the errors we could have made in that way. Same thing around the dairy. Although they don't have a specifically dairy, the particular Amish ladies I interact with have natural remedies for the cows, certain herbs that they use, and certain balms that they make for them. And they understand that the cows are nursing mothers. They have an understanding. But somehow, you know, the Bible or something tells them that, you know, it's acceptable that they can be, you know, if they're schooled also. So it's something that's, you know, difficult to understand. And the natural resources, they take very, they have a deep understanding of the rhythm of life, the microorganisms in the soil. We both attended a very lively talk by one of the leaders in the Amish community that comes out of the 90s there. He comes out to specifically educate the other Amish families, because they too, as an intentional community like us, have challenges. When you're in a community, there's social aspects that need care to be sustainable, so our children are raised in a way that everything so is relevant for them, that they can make the choices that they ought to make. So they have these sessions about themselves, and they invited us to a few of them. And he gave a nice talk on health from the soil, how, you know, everything comes out of the soil. So they're very intelligent, like agronomists. They understand the intensities of the soil. And so they understand the rhythms, the planting cycles, the forage for the cows, for particular forages to be fed, when to optimize more production. They understand grain, legumes, they understand fruit, berries. And then just, I spend a lot of time, Mother Jagannath and I go to Emma and a few other ladies, and we learn how to make cheese from it, cottage cheese and soft cheese, mainly, cream cheese. So they love canning, and a lot of canning from them also. A lot of conserve and surface crops, and they're careful with the green beans. I go to Emma's basement, and it's cold, and the potato crop, and just jars, rows and rows of jars, cans or glass jars, mason jars, produce in their own fields that their children do, and the surface, and they eat the same things during the winter months. So their budget, they don't go to white markets at all. They hardly go to the grocery shops. They just consuming what they've grown. And in that way, they, you know, maintaining sustainability. I mean, it's centuries old, and their children are still, they have a 90% retention rate. I mean, it's an appropriate term to use. Retention rate, you know, when they give the teenagers that option, you make a conscious choice now to be Amish. You go out there, and you decide whether you're going to stay out there or come back. If you stay out, you excommunicate, you don't come back. If you come back, then you're with us, you never leave. And they have a 90% return rate on that. So there's something that they do that's right. And so culturally and more agriculturally, that's where the lessons have been.
So thank you for taking time. I'll just make one quick last one. Prabhupada's conversation in Vrindavan, 8th October 1977. So the following month, on the 14th of October, the Prabhupada has a chance. So I wanted to introduce this. Now I have given you ideas. You can do it. You are all intelligent. So Prabhupada has left it to us, and somehow see how we